Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The Community Lifeline Initiative, that's the name of a joint effort by Central Piedmont Community College and Mecklenburg County First Responders, CMPD, Charlotte Fire, Medic, and the Sheriff's Office. This will be a multi-million dollar training center located on the college's Matthews campus, which Central Piedmont views as one of the most significant workforce development projects in its history. Law enforcement sees it as a state-of-the-art facility that will create an advanced, real-world learning environment, providing realistic simulations of situations police and firefighters might encounter in the field, making them better prepared, more prepared, in fact, than any previous generation. The center will include, among other things, several specialized driving courses, real-life simulations of single-family homes, businesses, and hospitals, along with a soundproof indoor shooting range. But as good as this may seem to those who will benefit from it, there is opposition, and there has been in other cities where similar facilities have been planned or are in operation. In Atlanta, opponents have dubbed theirs Cop City. Protests there have turned violent. While Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden says our facility will focus on a different approach, some local activists believe this $118 million project will make the Levine campus unsafe, one that will foster an atmosphere of fear and surveillance, their words. And in fact, surveillance efforts have already begun. Central Piedmont asked CMPD to flag any growing movement against the facility, and police agreed to keep an eye on the activist group Charlotte Uprising. So let's get into this. Into exactly what this facility will be, what it will mean for training, what it might or might not change about policing, and more. Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden is with us for the hour, along with Major Brian Sanders, Recruiting and Training Bureau Commander at CMPD. And Catherine Butler is also here. She is Vice President of Communications, Marketing, and Public Relations at Central Piedmont Community College. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Welcome. Good morning. Catherine, let me start with you. I describe my own version of what this facility may be like, the Community Lifeline Initiative. Let me hear from you about, since you're in the charge of it, essentially, let me hear you describe what this is envisioned to be.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for having us today. I think, you know, this is an important conversation, so really appreciate the time. As I think about public safety, it's really a community effort. And so as a community college, we have a really important role to play in making sure that we have the assets and the facilities that are available to our first responder agencies. And so this Community Lifeline Initiative is not only the facilities, but also the programming that is aligned with public safety training. And so we are really excited about what this facility will mean for the community. As you mentioned, the facility is located in at our Levine campus in Matthews, and we've been working on it for some time now, but it's really coming to fruition now. And so it's been a multi-year project to get this off the ground, working with all the different agency partners. So really looking forward to what it will mean for our neighbors. Ultimately, they're the ones who benefit from highly trained first responders.
How did this come to be? Whose idea was it?
You know, that's a great question. So over the past several years, we have heard feedback from lots of different agency partners. So you think about those who are here with us today. So obviously the sheriff and CMPD, but also fire and medic, and then some of our smaller agencies as well. So you think about Matthews, Pineville, Cornelius, some of the other smaller groups. And some of the feedback was that, you know, Central Piedmont plays such an important role in workforce development in the community. And so how do we think about playing that role for our agency partners too? And so that's really where this started to come to fruition several years ago, was thinking about what facilities does the county have and also what programming. And so what curriculum is there, what continuing education, how do we evolve the training? And so that's really where it started to come into play a few years ago.
Major Brian Sanders is with us. He's the recruiting and training bureau commander at CMPD. Major, there have always been training centers for police and fire and medic. There would have to be, obviously, but Mecklenburg County is home to several of these. Why do we believe we need yet another one?
Well, good morning. Thanks for having CMPD as well. Appreciate the conversation also. I'll tell you that it's always great. It's always great to have good facilities to train our emergency responders, you know, medic, fire, police. And with a county our size, with a population of ours, our size, we do have multiple police agencies within that county and fire agencies. And it's always good to have a location for all of us to partner whenever we want to train for significant incidents, right? Because we, being a big city, that's always there's always the potential of that. Why do we need another one? I think it's a pretty unique one. CMPD has a fantastic facility of our own, but this one does provide some opportunities for us to potentially partner with CPCC even more, as well as bringing other agencies together, because there are times where, whether it be a call for service or, you know, something takes us into one of these other smaller jurisdictions where, although we have jurisdiction, we need to work with them. So it's always great to be able to work with any of the partnering agencies within the county.
Sheriff McFadden, you've been saying for years that your department needs a new training facility. And back in 2023, you took the Charlotte Observer through your facility on Spectre Drive. In their article about that tour, they described it as crumbling with exposed electrical wires, vulnerable to a leaky roof, and numerous other possible dangerous and certainly less than ideal conditions. At the time, county leaders pointed to the possibility of the training facility we're talking about right now. And back then, you said that CPCC's facility wouldn't have enough firing range space for your agency to rely on and needed more classroom space, too. But now I understand you're on board with this. What's changed?
Well, I'm hopeful. You know, I'm hopeful that they will provide what we need. My facility is still in that same shape that it is when we had that tour. So I'm hopeful, you know, if we're not going to be provided the funds for a training facility or upgrade a training facility, hopefully that this will help us. And so that's my hope. I'm hoping that we will have the space, hoping that we will have our needs met. But this is very important to my agency, the largest sheriff's office in the Carolinas. And so we're looking for that space, and we do not have the training space presently or the facility to train. And so hopefully that this will resolve a lot of our issues.
This is part of a trend, if I'm detecting it correctly, nationwide. These state-of-the-art training facilities with large footprints have been expanding around the country. Since 2020, they've expanded to 80 facilities in 47 states. And I'm curious to hear from both Sheriff McFadden and Major Sanders why this push toward larger, more comprehensive facilities. I'll start with the Major.
Well, I think it's a testament to the dedication that law enforcement across the country has to ensuring that our officers, whether of any kind, law enforcement, whether it be local, county, or federal, our dedication to ensuring that we have the best training to deal with anything, right? Whether it be mental health issues or critical incidents, any sort of civil disruption, all the way down to a domestic violence call for service. It's always a good thing to have resources, better training, and the ability to do that. You know, 30 years ago, we were training in classrooms and double wide trailers. But now what we've seen is the country and our local agencies investing in better training for, well, policing as a whole, whether that's on a county level, federal level, or a city level.
Sheriff, your take on the same thing, the trend.
Well, I would agree.
Facilities.
Well, I would agree, because we're looking at real life scenarios, and to train at a simulated hotel, simulated apartment complex is what we need. And then we have to think about, each time there's a officer involved shooting or a protest or a issue about law enforcement, what does the public say? We need more training. Well, we do, or we always do. And I will accept that. But the size of the training facility should be compatible to the size of your community. We're at 1.2 million. When I came on to Charlotte Police Department 40 some years ago, we didn't have this. And so I'm thinking that this is the move in the right direction. As I'm always going to say, I'm hopeful. But I think that we still will have to address the concerns of the community. And I think that's what we should be focusing on now, the needs of the community and allowing the community to know what we are doing and accept this as a positive move in the right direction.
This facility on the Matthews, I'm sorry, go ahead, Catherine.
You know, one thing I would call out too, because as we talk about training, I do think the facilities are different in each community. And so one of the things that we've been really thoughtful about as we've been sitting down with the partners, Central Piedmont hasn't been developing this in a vacuum, which I think is really critical. So we've been sitting down and having those conversations with all of the different agencies, whether that's law enforcement, fire, or EMS, to understand also not just what you need today, but what do you need years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. And so we're also thinking about what technology do we need to implement. Maybe, for instance, one of the things that I think is fascinating about the facility is we thought a lot about how many different types of stairwells do EMS professionals have to get up and down. You know, if somebody falls in a bathroom, typically that's upstairs. And so how do they get a stretcher down? So while there's definitely the perspective and, you know, the law enforcement perspective, there's a lot of different training needs that our EMS and fire professionals are also trying to think through. And that's one of the reasons we've been sitting with them as well to design.
Yeah, this facility will not just be for police and the sheriff's department. This will include facilities or training facilities for Charlotte EMS and for Charlotte Fire. EMS says it's where we will train the next generation. It helps us attract, retain, and develop top talent in a competitive healthcare landscape. The facility will strengthen partnerships with the fire department and law enforcement and hospitals, which improves communication and coordination in major emergencies. Charlotte Fire sent us a statement about how they feel about this. They said, quote, with increasing call volume and a new generation of firefighters entering the profession, there's an urgent need to expand training capacity. Charlotte Fire currently operates one of the premier training facilities in North Carolina. However, as the city's footprint and building types have evolved, especially in high-density and high-rise areas, so have the demands on our training. The Community Lifestyle Initiative represents a critical investment in the future of emergency response. This new facility will offer opportunities for joint training with other agencies in Mecklenburg County. It's exactly what EMS just said, helping us train side by side for the very emergencies that we face together, which will not only benefit Charlotte Fire, but also strengthen the entire county's ability to respond effectively in times of crisis. So, Catherine, talk for a moment. I only have a minute left in the segment, but talk for a moment about what this facility will offer in terms of fire and medic response training.
Yeah, absolutely. We're so excited about what the facility will offer. So, we're going to have multiple different burn areas so they can practice on a residential, commercial, vehicle entrapment. And you also think about the evolution of EVs. EVs, putting out a fire on an EV is very different than putting out a fire on a, you know, a regular vehicle. So that's something that we're thinking about as well. And on the EMS side, you know, we're going to have different simulation spaces. So we can change a space from a hospital one day to a convenience store another day. And so depending on who's there training, we can also make sure that the facility is prepared for those folks as well.
Catherine Butler is Vice President of Communications, Marketing, and Public Relations at Central Piedmont Community College. We will continue our conversation in just a moment at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, using Mazda's customer-centric approach to cars to create a car buying and servicing experience where the customer is the center of their business. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the Community Lifeline Initiative with Catherine Butler. She's Vice President of Communications Marketing and PR at CPCC. Major Brian Sanders is Recruiting and Training Bureau Commander at CMPD. Gary McFadden is the Sheriff of Mecklenburg County. I keep referring to this, Catherine, as the Community Lifeline Initiative. Is that actually the name of the facility?
So the facility itself is our public safety training facility. The Community Lifeline Initiative encompasses kind of how we're thinking about workforce development for public safety as a whole. And so the facility is, it hasn't been built yet, but it will be. And so we're in those design phases. And so we'll have more to share on names over the next several months.
Charlotte Medic sent us a list of their hopes for this facility. Among them, they called this a forward thinking investment. This is going to be used by medic, by fire, by police, by the sheriff's department. And I'm curious how that all with all these agencies coming in is limited, even though it's a big space, it's limited. How do you coordinate the use of this between these among these four agencies, Catherine?
Yeah, you know, they're training. There is a high need for training. So we do imagine this facility is going to be used by a lot of different people and a lot of different times. So we are working through what that process will look like and understanding how frequently certain agencies will need access. Different agencies have different continuing education requirements and state requirements for their training as well. So we'll be thoughtful around what that process looks like. You know, in addition to the training facility, we will also have a driving course. And this is a critical response area, critical response training course. So think about our folks who are driving fire trucks every day. They have to, you know, make a turn in a cul-de-sac, or somebody who's having to, you know, operate a police or law enforcement vehicle, and how do they navigate obstacles. We will also have that area available, and I have two tracks for our service individuals to train on. And so we'll have different opportunities for training depending on what those needs are by agency.
I would think, Major, that Charlotte Police and Charlotte Fire and Medic have to work together almost every day in some situation or situations. I'm curious, how do you already train together, and how will this facility facilitate that even more?
Absolutely, we work together daily. In fact, dozens, if not, you know, over hundreds of times a day, are we all responding to the same calls? So training together, the Charlotte Fire and CMPD have, well, actually it's the city Vehicle Operations Center. Medic trains there, our city buses even train there, fire department and the police department, among others. So we have a facility for that. There are times where we do train together, but for the most part, we're training independent, because a lot of them are new drivers to those vehicles. And so it's very meticulous on what they're training for. Whether it be our SUVs or fire trucks or the medic trucks. So a lot of times in that particular scenario, they're training on their vehicles, and they don't want a lot of distraction with other, whether it be police cars or fire trucks around. So they're, those agencies, including ours, are typically teaching their drivers almost one-on-one to make sure that we get that best training before they head out to the field. So drivers training together collectively, the way that works is it'll typically roll into other training that we're doing together. So you're talking about more advanced stuff, whether it be in, if you're training for civil arrest, then obviously the fire trucks and the police cars will be there together. But drivers training specifically is typically our agencies training independent of each other to nail down those skills that's needed for that.
CMPD Chief Johnny Jennings characterized this project as a, quote, groundbreaking effort for Mecklenburg County on several levels, because it's designed to give real-world experience to law enforcement, firefighters, and medic personnel. Durham, the city of Durham, is planning a similar facility, which, like Atlantis, has been dubbed Cop City by opponents. The Durham County Sheriff has characterized the use of that term, Cop City, as derogatory, inaccurate, and dangerous. This facility has also been dubbed Cop City by some of its opponents. Assuming that you, Major, agree with the Durham County Sheriff, why is that term unfair?
Well, I'll leave that to CPCC to answer that. But from a policing and a law enforcement perspective, this is a training facility. You know, this isn't what I would call a cop city. This is a training facility to make our law enforcement partners, all the emergency responders better. That's what the intent is. And that's what I assume for most everybody involved is what it will be used for.
And Sheriff, you have said, in fact, that this facility will take a different approach to those facilities that perhaps with some justification have been dubbed cop cities. How so? How will this approach be different?
Well, I think that we need to involve the community much more. I'm not sure what the Atlanta area did. I gave my opinion to them when they were doing their research. I'm going to give my opinion to Central Piedmont. What we don't do well is involve the community. And once we involve the community, I think that it will help us, you know, push this word cop city back. Because everybody knows that when we have an officer involved shooting, we have to explain what we did, why we did it, and all of that. But if we are sitting there with our community leaders, our regular citizens, or just anybody, allowing them to look at some of the training, we will not do so much of explanation. There is something out there called ABLE, Active Bystander of Law Enforcement, which Georgetown University created. We have, I think, about 95% of my deputies trained in ABLE, Active Bystander of Law Enforcement. And this comes from the George Floyd incident. But there is a component of that training that is supposed to happen within your city with your resident citizens or what have you. And I think that is an opportunity to bring the community in and said, yeah, this is why we do that.
You have That's said important. This is not just about talking to members of the community prior to the opening of this facility. You're talking about bringing people in during the training so that people can observe police and fire and sheriff's department training, sit in on it, and then, you say, hold you, law enforcement, accountable. From your experience thus far with this project, is that part of the plan?
I'm hoping that it is. I'm truly hoping that it is, because when we are talking about use of force continuum, the word continuum means what to the average citizen. But when we can show that chart on why we go from a hands-on taser to deadly force, or why do we go strictly to deadly force, we should be able to explain that to the citizens, but the citizens should be able to explain that to their friends, congregation, or meetings, and that would be helpful. And so I think that this is a great opportunity to do that. If that opportunity is not presented, then we will have those issues again. And this is why people dub places like this cop city. When Broward County, Florida, which is absolutely one of the best facilities that I have seen, Tony Gregory invited law enforcement and the community and sent me a video. I believe this is the approach that we need to absolutely, without a doubt, also be part of our planning. Having the community involved, even having a community room so they can be on campus and they can hold their meetings instead of going to these panel discussions all over the county, this could be a meeting place for both law enforcement and the community.
Catherine, is that part of the plan? What is the plan?
And as we think about this facility as a whole, as I mentioned, public safety is a community effort. And so there is something to be said about making sure that folks understand what is happening and the type of training that is happening. There's also something to be said about you need training to happen in a secure environment. So we're looking at how we design the facility with those things in mind. But I would also share, we're being thoughtful about how we bring the community into the fold on this, right? So if we have folks who are already doing things like car seat checks or smoke detector checks or other things, how do we offer some of those at the facility that are things that are related to public safety for our community? But I think, more broadly, Mike, what I would share is, the naming of the facility and some of the different voices in the conversation. The reality is we're not going to be able to sway some of the views of a small group of people. But I do think the majority, and I'm confident, especially living here in the county, that the majority of residents who live here want to make sure that we have talented, highly trained professionals. And so that is how we're designing the programming and how we're designing the facility to make sure that that is available for our first responders. And ultimately, like I said, you know, our neighbors benefit from that.
So, Major, this is going to be providing police, fire, medic, sheriff, et cetera, real life simulated training situations that look like, feel like, are very much like what people would encounter in the field. And one of the things that you encounter in the field sometimes is angry people. And so I'm wondering how you feel about the incorporation of bringing people in to watch this training. Do you think that this center or that approach will improve police relations with the community?
Well, I think there's two answers to that. I think, like the sheriff talked about, that there is definitely a component that can be implemented to give the public confidence in knowing that it's training to make us all better. And to see that to a certain extent. On the other side, there is a security part of that as well, right? We want to make sure that when we deal with, you know, quote, angry people, the tactics that we use is always geared towards defusing that. And that's always the goal, is to ensure that there's the safety of the citizen, the citizens around that particular call for service, and the officers involved. And so I think that allowing citizens and the public to come in and view our overall training, I think that's probably a little far, but I do believe that there is a component that we can allow our citizens to see. Yeah. And at least have a better understanding of how we're training. You know, we are always trying to diffuse and help people that are in these, as you called it, angry situations.
Go ahead.
One thing I would call out, you know, we want to make sure that our neighbors and residents have information about this project. So we have launched a publicly facing website that has a lot of information and, you know, will be available, because this project won't actually be fully operational for a few years. And so it's going to be a process. And so I would share that too with your listeners, just to make sure that they have the information out there and they can follow along as we continue to design and build.
Sheriff, did you want to chime in?
Yeah. I'm not saying, and make sure, I'm not saying to bring them in our all of our training, but here's what is important. We need to have that conversation, because we will always have to explain ourselves during a press conference. If you think about it, this is what we don't want to do at a press conference, is trying to justify what we did. It is should be that they better understand de-escalation. If you ask anybody, most people say, why don't you shoot them in the leg? Well, we are not trained to shoot anyone in the leg. Every target I shot at, it was center mass. So why is that? And so then why do we go from a taser to deadly force? Because the use of force continuum gives us that option. So these are the things that we need to be talking about with the public, better explaining. When we see a police officer appears to be punching somebody in the leg or arm, why is that done? Because we are trying to make them release the weapon. So these are the trainings that I'm talking about, not talking about, you know, the large scale of what we do every day, but having the community involved will help us. What is de-escalation? What does it look like? Why do we ask you to? And then we're asking you, sure, you could film me making an arrest with your camera, but here's what you can't do so you won't be arrested. Giving them those instructions said, okay, if I'm asking you to back up, you should back up. But also, we will tell you, don't narrate it so much that it actually hurts your friend, because you can narrate your own video to hurt your friend doing a self-defense claim. So this is what I'm saying. But if we, again, if we don't have that component, it is going to always be us versus them, which I'm hoping that this helps us push that away.
Some of the, go ahead, Major.
Yeah, I just wanted to say too, I agree with the sheriff there too. There is that line that has to be walked. That's why there's body worn cameras on every officer out there. That's for the transparency component that we have, right? We want when we can and when is allowed by the courts, we want the public to see the entire scenario, because it's any call from something that ends in a very positive way where emergency responders save the life of somebody in distress, to the unfortunate need to have to take force that ends up in a tragic scenario. All of those things are transparent. So I understand we want the public to understand and know as best as we can share it, what we're doing, and so that we can be transparent in that. So I just wanted to touch on some of the
pushback to this, and there has been a pushback on a wide range of topics, but some of it has to do with the how likely, when this is up and running and it's being used, it will be used constantly, it seems to me, by various different public service agencies. And some are concerned about the presence of police and fire and medic conducting these real-life drills and how that might affect the safety of the campus at large and of the students, faculty, and staff at that campus. Catherine, what has the college done to mitigate those concerns?
So safety and security of our campuses is our number one priority. If I think about one thing that we can all agree on, we want our students and our faculty and staff and those visiting our campuses to be safe. So I would actually have to say this is probably going to be our safest campus, because we're going to have so many agency partners who are right there across the road. So I just, you know, as I think about some of those concerns, I would say first and foremost to our students, number one, their safety is absolutely number one priority for us. But, you know, as we look at this facility itself, it will be across the road from our existing campus. It will also have multiple layers of security involved. Just, you know, as we think about the training, just making sure it's a secure and, you know, safe environment for those who are training. But I will say, you know, we are going to have a lot of different agency partners there. So if you think about those who are responding to any type of incident, they're going to be right there.
Catherine Butler's here from CPCC. They're going to be building this Community Lifeline Initiative training facility for police, fire, medic, and the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff Gary McFadden is also with us, as is Major Brian Sanders from CMPD. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the pushback and share with you a letter we got from a listener about pushing back, and we'll do that in a moment. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the Community Lifeline Initiative, a proposal from CPCC, which I believe is funded and is about to be built on their Levine campus, the Matthews campus of Central Piedmont Community College. Catherine Butler is here. She's Vice President of Communications, Marketing, and Public Relations. Major Brian Sanders is here, Recruiting and Training Bureau Commander at CMPD. And Gary McFadden is the Sheriff for Mecklenburg County. I want to share with you an email we got from a listener about this. She asks, and she wishes to remain anonymous, so we'll just call her she, why was the $116 million in county taxpayer funding not brought to the public to vote on in a referendum, which has been the case with all other major CPCC building projects? I guess that's a question for you, Catherine.
Yeah, so Mike, you know, I'm not going to be able to speak to the specific details of the county budget process, but I will say, you know, this has been over the course of several years that this project has been going through the public notice, public forum process, and different areas where there has been input through the process. But as we have worked through this, I think the county has identified that this is a really critical need for the county and for our residents. And so as we look at the funding, yes, it has been approved. And yes, we are moving forward. But we have definitely walked through that specific process that's outlined to ensure that we're being thoughtful and sharing that. with the public and through that county process.
And they write, the opposition to this center is not centralized or fringe or scary, which is what CPCC suggests in their statement. Students are upset. Students, parents like me are worried about their kids' safety. Neighborhood moms groups on social media are outraged and mobilizing. Matthews citizens are worried, and the college refuses to answer direct questions from their own students or the public. And she wants to know why.
You know, Mike, I appreciate you sharing this. And, you know, here's what I would say. We definitely take this very seriously in terms of different perspectives, concerns, thoughts about the facility. I would encourage a lot of these folks to really look through our website, where we do share a lot of information. We are, having conversations in these forums. We're meeting with different folks. I just met with some various folks in Matthews last week, I think it was, to talk about what this project really is. And unfortunately, I think there are some voices in the conversation that are clouding the facts and creating fear around what this facility really will entail. And that's unfortunate, because our neighbors deserve the facts, and our neighbors deserve highly trained emergency responders who respond to their calls. And I think we can all truly in the community agree that we want that, especially for the growth of Charlotte. So, as I think about somebody who grew up here, I'm a Charlotte native, and every time that I've had to call for help or need a response effort from one of the agencies, I want those people to be really trained and thoughtful about their response when they're coming to help me or one of my neighbors. And so that's really what this facility is about. And I do want to make sure that people understand that.
There is
go ahead.
There's an organization called Stop Cop City CLT. They see this as an example of increasing militarization of policing around the country. One student member of that organization reportedly described conversations with the administration about this as artificial and haven't encompassed the full breadth of concerns of the impact this will have on the Levine campus, and added, quote, "I think literally any acknowledgement would be better than where we are now. There has been no attempt whatsoever to even listen to student voices." I want to give you a chance to respond to that and tell us about the level of community or college, faculty, student, staff involvement in conversations surrounding this facility.
Sure. Yeah. We definitely appreciate any feedback from our students and take that, seriously as we think about different projects. We have been meeting with our faculty in particular. Our faculty tend to be the people who are, day to day working with our students. You think about students who come to campus, and they are the ones who are, interacting with our faculty. So we've been sharing lots of information there, but we've also been sharing information with our students through email and through other channels and forums, different forums that we have here on campus. And we plan to share more. What I will say is we were still in the design phases until very, the last couple of months, we've been able to share more about what the facility is going to entail. We've been still sitting down with our agency partners and understanding what are their needs, how do we design the facility with those in mind. So we're just at the place where we're able to really provide more information. And so we will continue to do that. And I think, again, one of the things that I would say, we keep a pulse on our students in terms of what they're thinking and how they're approaching different things. And we get their feedback through different surveys and different forums. And so I would say, from what we can tell, some of the conversation around this is held by a small group of extremists who are outside of our student population. And so that is just, one thing that we will be mindful of. But like I said, there are times where we can, really not sway those who don't want a response or funding for our police in particular. And so as we think about this facility, we're being really thoughtful, like I said, about the programming, about how we're designing the facility, and the security measures and the additional layers of security that will be in place.
I think in fairness to CPCC and to underline what you just said about a lot of these people being outsiders, not students, not faculty, a lot of the people who are opposed to this, the organization that I referenced a moment ago, Stop Cop City CLT, has characterized the law enforcement system as based in white supremacy created to protect the property of our richest citizens. So they do have an axe to grind, and it may be, it's certainly their opinion, and it may be true, I don't know, but that's how they feel. So you can take that and put that in your bin and sort through it. But there have been five people, including a CPCC student, who filed a lawsuit against the college, alleging that the security guards followed her and barred her from returning to campus after she went to a Board of Trustees meeting, and complaining that the college broke the state's open meetings law when discussing this facility. The suit says that the plans for this facility were, quote, secretly conceived, negotiated, and approved, and that the board violated the law by not keeping adequate minutes, not recording the meeting, not issuing proper public notice of meetings, and requiring photo ID for the public to attend, and more. The group is being represented by the Durham-based Southern Coalition for Social Justice. Last month, when asked for comment, you told The Observer, Catherine, that this filing was lengthy and would take time to review. Well, 13 days have passed. What can you say about it now?
Yeah, Mike, thanks. And I will say we've updated we updated our statement with The Observer the next day. So we needed about 24 hours to look at that filing. It was about 250 pages. So I'm sure we can all attest that takes a little bit of time. But we strongly disagree with the claims. We'll be responding fully in court. I won't get into the details. But what I will say is Central Piedmont has been around for decades, and we have strived to comply with public records laws, open meeting laws, and requirements. And, ultimately, our commitment to this project won't waver. And we are really, really excited about what it means. We've been very working through the process of sharing that information, and also had worked through a number of different processes outlined by the county and the state to share that information, and we have done so.
Part of the school's initial response was saying that the statute about meetings allows meetings to be closed to the public for anti-terrorism planning. Is that what was discussed in this closed door meeting? Anti-terrorism tactics? And if so, why?
Absolutely not, Mike. Yeah, no, I mean,
and why that response?
I think here's what I would say. The facility itself has been discussed, but more broadly, this, like I said, we'll respond in court related to this specifically. I think one of the things that I would bring up around this topic is, we have to have different conversations in different forums. And so this facility has been on the agendas and, in different discussions, but we by no means agree with this. We are in strong disagreement with the claims that have been outlined.
One of the protest groups involved in this is called Charlotte Uprising. They've called for police and prisons to be abolished, and they insist that, quote, police cannot be trained to be better, prisons cannot be fixed to be safer, and they say this new facility will be a danger to the county and all nearby areas. CPCC has asked CMPD to flag any growing movement against the facility, and CMPD at least initially agreed to keep an eye on that group. Why do you see them and others as a threat that needs to be under surveillance?
So, as I think about what we have seen and experienced over the last several months, there have been incidents where there has been vandalism of our design firm who's been working on this project. There have been personal targeted approaches on social media and others of college leadership. And so if you think about a neighborhood, and if you think about a house next door to you, and if it got vandalized or if a neighbor was targeted, you would ask law enforcement, hey, could you keep an eye on this and just let me know if I should be concerned? That's a similar thing that an organization would do. And so as a community college and an organization that's been really focused on workforce development and being stewards in the community, we have to be thoughtful about that too. And we have to be thoughtful about the security of our campuses and the security of our facilities and people. And so we're going to be attentive to anything that law enforcement shares. But I would also share, a lot of this is publicly available on social media. And so some of it is also us just being mindful of the security nature that we need to have.
The word surveillance, the word surveillance is a hot word, and I'm wondering if that came from the college or whether it was injected into this conversation by the media using that as a word to say, well, keep an eye on these things, therefore it's surveillance. Is that a word that you would have chosen to use?
I would say at this point, you know, we are just trying to be mindful of what is out there that is about Central Piedmont or any of our agency partners who are involved or project partners. So I think it's more monitoring a situation and making sure it doesn't evolve into something that is unsafe for anyone, community members, leadership, agency partners. That's
Major, really Major, is this something that you're asked to do regularly or even intermittently by certain organizations to keep an eye on people who may not agree with their policies or positions, et cetera? Is CMPD actively involved? Have they been actively involved in doing that over time? And if so, when you keep an eye on things like that, what are you looking for?
Well, great question. However, my current assignment as Major of Recruitment and Training, I'm not involved in any of that. So that would be how I would have to answer that at this time.
Sheriff, I don't know if you can answer that question either. No, but
this is, but this is why it's so important to include the community. This is why it's so important to have these conversations. No matter what we say or what we do, we're always going to have these problems, but I think that we can tone it down in inviting these conversations. Sure. And Mike, and I think, you know, I don't run for anybody's conversation, whether I agree with you or not agree with you. But I think that we will become better if we sit down and have these conversations instead of what we are maybe, let me make sure we say that, maybe doing now towards these groups. Or towards these groups, but then here's what we have to say. These groups are our citizens. These groups are our residents. And so this is why it's so important for us to incorporate them, invite them, even if they don't come. We need to take care of that situation.
In early April on this program, we heard from an Atlanta reporter about protest groups who had acted up against a facility, a similar facility there, where in 2023, 23 people were charged with domestic terrorism. They threw Molotov cocktails and fireworks and rocks as they surrounded that facility. And also with us on that program was a man named Brandon Garrett. He's a professor at Duke University Law and director of the Wilson Center for Science and Justice. He wrote an article in 2020 in the Washington Post in which he said protesters and lawmakers and others are right to set their sights on structural racism and entrenched police practices because there is inadequate data tracking of police use of force. But he added that police training should not be didactic, but interactive, so that sound tactics become second nature to officers in the field. Sheriff, is that how you see this facility operating? Is that what the end result will be?
I'm hoping that's what it will be. That is what I'm hoping for. To always encompass the community, always invite the community, always train, and with respect what the Major said, not all of our training, but some of our training. What is de-escalation look like? Why do we have to use deadly force? What is use of force continuum? What happens if you arrive on the scene and what you should not, and what you should and what you can do? Imagine if we have a live scenario of I think this will be a small little community like they have at the FBI Academy. Let's simulate what a neighborhood disturbance looked like, film it, take it to the classroom and say, okay, if you do this, you will be arrested. You can do this and not be arrested. And I think that's the approach that I would take if I had a big hand into this, because what we're going to not do is satisfy everyone, but we can at least better explain it before we get to a press conference. All press conferences are explaining what we've done and why we did it. But if the community stands there and said, you know what, he's right because I took the training. He's right because we know this. 90% of the people have probably don't even know what the use of force continuum is. And I say that because most people say, why didn't you shoot him in the leg? Or why did you have to go to a taser? These are things that we could talk about, even what you do in a courtroom.
We have 30 seconds left. Catherine, as these protests have come up, has any of these involved organizations taken the time to respond to or talk to these people? Very quickly.
Yeah. Yes, you know, absolutely. But I would just say, as we wrap up, I do want to just reinforce this. While this is one narrative in the space, it's really important for us to remember that this is for lots of different people and lots of different agencies. And so we're really excited about what that means for workforce development.
And with that, we have to stop. Catherine Butler is Vice President of Communication, Marketing, and PR at CPCC. Gary McFadden is the sheriff, and Major Brian Sanders is with CMPD. Thank you all for the hour.
Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. Our producer is Chris Jones. We have additional production help from Jesse Steinmetz. For more information on Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.